Hello and welcome back to Thursday the 12th, the ultimate pre-Halloween, pre-Friday the 13th, pre-spooky scary skeletons night preparation show. Jack, what are you most looking forward to about this Halloween?
For Halloween, I might be watching the Simpsons metal band Oakley Doakley in Camden on Halloween.
Are you serious?
Yeah, they're playing a gig at the Underworld on Halloween. I'm tempted to go.
That's so cool.
Oh, yeah, to watch some Nettle.
Dude, that's jokes. The thing I'm is, so though, down.
Cattle Decapitation are playing literally down the road on the same night. So you've got a brutal death metal band and a bunch of guys dressed as Ned in the same street. It's going to be like West Side Story.
So are they like death metal or are they grindcore?
Who, Oakley Doakley?
No,
Cat's Capitation. Probably more death, I'd say.
Yeah, I mean, it's all... I'm impressed you were able to read the actual logo.
Yeah, it's...
It looks like a bunch of twigs thrown together.
That famous meme, yeah.
Absolutely. That's what they really found in the Blair Witch Project. They found loads of those being stalked by a death metal band.
That's why I think it's a good idea for a horror film, actually. Like, they go to the Norwegian woods and there's like a black metal band to get lost and away in a photo shoot, and they just become feral. And there's loads of people dressed as a bath.
It's like goats and
there's loads of people dressed like a bath just walking going,
All right, so Tom Hanks Defence Force, Mystery Pitch Horror, let's go. And now for our feature presentation, Tom Hanks Defence Force, with your hosts, Alex Halpern and Jack Fryer, a podcast for people who love film, television, and Tom Hanks. Welcome back to the Tom Hanks Defence Force Halloween special, a mystery pitch extravaganza where we try and top the Bernstein Bagels episode.
And or the newspaper one. I think that's pretty close.
Yeah, they're on par. I'd say, yeah. So, as you probably guessed, this mystery pitch, we will be pitching horror films to each other. So it may sound like we've had some preparation time, but we agreed on this tonight.
Yeah.
Like literally about an hour ago.
Yeah.
So we've had very little time to think about our options.
Yep.
Very little time to plan out our pitch in more detail, but we'll see how we go. I think we've got probably have some vaguely interesting ideas up our sleeves.
I already know what I want to do, so I've got this in my head already.
Good man. So, would you like to go first?
Yeah, why not? Let's go first.
I'll bounce off you. That's a good idea.
So, my horror one, it's going to be a horror film. It's got a slight comedy edge to it.
Ooh.
So, a man one day wakes up, and this man really hates Paul McCartney. He hates the Beatles. Like, he deliberately bought out a bunch of tickets to see Yesterday, but didn't go, so no one could see the film.
Did he put his foot through the screen when Paul McCartney was closing the Olympics?
He turned off his TV and had his back to the wall. This guy
for like 7 days.
He's a normal kind of normal man, but like he lives by himself, a bit of a loner, but he's relatively normal.
Is it Mole Man?
Apart from his irrational hatred for the Beatles. Like he absolutely hates the Beatles. And one day, when he's watching the TV, and Paul McCartney, he's fixing TV channel hopping, and Paul McCartney's there. And he looks at Paul McCartney, and then suddenly he realises he possesses Paul McCartney.
Ooh.
And he thinks, oh my God, I'm Paul McCartney. So he just starts, like, instead of doing this beautiful piano solo, he just smashes his hands on the piano going bong, 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 then starts smashing his face onto the piano keys as well.
Wow.
And then starts incoherently screaming down the microphone, like, and tips over the piano.
So it's like the exorcism of Paul McCartney.
And thing is, though, he starts then screaming, and then he suddenly afterwards, he's back in his normal body, and he realises he has the power to possess people.
Ooh.
For about a minute. And then he goes back. That person then regains control.
Mm.
That's got to live with the consequences.
Yeah.
And he then starts to use it for nefarious means. That's my...
Nice. That,
yeah.
Oh, that's... Wow.
Yeah.
That's it, or...?
Yeah, that's the start of the pitch. I've given you the beginning. Now, go with it, my child.
Just... What happens? Okay, oh.
It can be about the man, Paul McCartney's after effect. It can just be, yeah, whatever happens next. I'll give you a minute if you want.
Sorry, just to clarify, so he's in the body of Paul McCartney?
A minute and a half. Uh-huh. He's in the body for Paul McCartney, then he goes back to his own body. Obviously, but then Paul McCartney regains control. He's like on stage, and like, what? Yeah.
Oh, so it's, okay, so it's called 60 Seconds of Paul. it's the sequel to 500 Days of Summer. So, yeah, it's a film like that, and... So first of all, it has Joseph Gordon-Levitt as the really like angsty neurotic like stage manager.
Yeah.
So basically, Paul McCartney is possessed for 1 minute, and he grabs the mic and he lets out this like Nurgelian like gargling roar, and basically everyone in the audience, like 20,000 people, are thinking naturally, what the hell? What was that? There are conspiracy theories like flying around the internet. Some people say have you seen the Scooby Doo film, the first one?
A long time ago.
Yeah, you know when like they're you know where they like their souls they rescue their souls from the this like vat where they're all being kept, and they all like jump and they're all in the woods, and then all of their souls are flying between each other's bodies.
Yeah,
it's like that. So people like 80s 80s B movie producing superstar was it Lloyd Kaufman?
Lloyd Kaufman, yeah.
Yeah. He makes a film about that, like remaking Scooby Doo, but with that applying to Paul McCartney.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah, so conspiracy theories are all over the internet.
Okay.
You can't avoid them. But basically, you know, amongst all these theories, this demonologist was actually at the show, played by Tom Hanks.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, yes. He's a demonologist. This is the next Dan Brown novel. It's waiting to be written.
Is it called The Da Vinci Angel Inferno?
So this demonologist hears the roar, and then he finds a clip of it on YouTube, like a day later once someone's uploaded it. And no, he finds it on Twitter.
Okay.
And no, Instagram. And it's like a 10-second, like a minute-long clip of just that roar. And he plays it backwards, and he hears... he hears this like demonic voice giving directions to the entrance to hell.
Oh, wow.
So it's called As Above, So With Paul. So Tom Hanks, the demonologist, is basically, he's in a race against time to find out, like, why this demon was pointing, was giving the directions to hell for anyone who could understand his... Blah. He employs the help of... Leonardo DiCaprio's ex-girlfriend, Bar Raffaele. Does she act?
I think so. Well, she does now.
She does. In this universe. Tom Hanks and Bar Raffaele. She's this... She's an actress in this, and she was in one of the Hellraiser sequels.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, but then she actually went to hell during the production and came back again.
Well, it's for research. Just went to hell and back.
And so she's the only person alive with knowledge of what hell is actually like. So Tom Hanks, the demonologist, goes to her and asks, did you go through this portal that the demon is describing through the voice of Paul McCartney? And obviously they've interviewed Paul McCartney before this.
Yeah.
And
I should, we should probably call him Sir Paul McCartney before we get a lot of angry Beatles fanboys coming at us.
Oh, our Twitter's being destroyed. So Sir Paul McCartney, they interview him, and he can't remember any of it.
Yeah.
It's completely gone from his mind. And So Tom Hanks and Bar Raffaele go on a trip to hell. They steal the bagel truck from Bernstein's Bagels and from Chaos in the Kitchen. And so they use that to, I think we described methods of how it flies and accelerates in that episode. And check it out if you haven't already. They use the acceleration thrust from the Bernstein's bagel truck to drive into this portal to hell.
Yeah.
And they get inside, and basically, it's full of, like, everyone looks like Ringo Starr.
Yeah.
Everyone looks like, who's a good, like, hell entity for now? Who or what?
Actor or actual entity?
Anything.
Oh, we got like, Beelzebub, Lucifer.
No, it's like ones that would work in this situation. Oh. Like, if you went to hell, what would you see that wasn't like the sort of like biblical imagery influenced?
I don't know. Maybe just like a long queue at the self-service checkout. I mean, it's just a man with a whole trolley, and it's just like each individual item. Now, the entrance to hell, like, it could be like just massive gates. Like Cerberus could be there having a nap. They've got to get in, or.
Yeah, or like at the very top of the Tower of Orthanc, where Saruman goes sometimes, and you can't get down. And it looks like all the orcs breaking them all down below.
Yeah,
that happens. They go to hell, and they basically find out that this demon tries to. I said it's a sequel to 500 Days of Summer, so. They actually, basically, it turns out that Joseph Gordon-Levitt's character and, is it Zoe Deschanel?
Yeah, Zoe Deschanel, yeah.
Yeah, so Zoe Deschanel, their characters in the 500 Days of Summer are actually demons. And then they're basically like, it's Joseph Gordon-Levitt in hell as this demon that he was in the first one. And he's lost Zoe Deschanel on Earth.
Oh, God.
So he's trying to, like...
Jason Gordon's called from Jogo for this. So Jogo he's two characters. He's the manager and his character for 50 days.
Yes, they see him in hell. Okay, like, you're the stage manager. Oh, cool. That just happens. That's not explained at all why he's the manager of the stage as well. Maybe so the sound doesn't cut out. It's actually the sound technician. Anyway, boom. They meet, Joseph Gordon-Levitt is trying to find the demon form of Zoe Deschanel on Earth. So he plans to do it again and again with various different, like, he knows people that would possess celebrities if they could.
Okay.
So he goes into their bodies to then possess other celebrities.
Okay.
So basically the same thing that happened to Paul McCartney on stage happens to Taylor Swift. It happens to Neil deGrasse Tyson. It happens to, Billy Ray Cyrus, the Old Town Road guy,
the Little 10 Nass.
Second song, that Little Nas, the 10 second songs guy.
Can it happen to Mark Rylance on stage instead of like reading like, "To Be or Not to Be" in Shakespeare? He just reads the lyrics of like Anaconda, Toy Boy Big and Big in Detroit.
And that's how you get to hell. You just recite that three times in a mirror. So he plans to do that again and again, and it revolves around demonologist Tom Hanks and Bara Raffaelli, the actress, to actually, like, yeah, I mean, just to, like, help, you know, help demon, help demon Jogo, find his missing love.
Okay.
And so it turns into it's a horror comedy turned romance. It's directed by the guy who what's his name? It's not Graham King.
Green. Is that it?
No, I think it might be Graham King who directed all the Sex and the City episodes and the films.
Oh, I don't know him then.
Yeah,
so I was thinking of the guy who wrote Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter.
Oh no, it's not him.
Okay.
That would be fantastic though. He would do a good job.
Yeah.
But no, this has to be the Sex and the City guy.
Okay.
Just because this is his first adventure into horror.
Yeah.
So it has all the glamour and the glitz, but it's also like, it's a really interesting studio decision to invest in this.
Okay.
We could see Sarah Jessica Parker in the next Ghost Rider if this goes successfully. As Ghost Rider.
The upcoming Hulu Ghost Rider series.
And that's my pitch.
Wow.
That's the film.
Makes sense. It's my turn.
Was it
now.
As Above, So With Paul? 60 Seconds of Paul. Yeah. Oh, I think it's...
Could you call it the Beatles juice?
The Beatles... Nice, yes.
Can Ringo Starr have a moment where he just watches this clip and he goes, well, that never happened to me. Just him looking really content.
That's the post-credit scene.
Just Ringo Starr gets possessed as the post-credit scene, but literally no one's about. He's just in his house.
We're going to reel Kevin Feige in for like just that one like little sequence.
Where he's on stage at Comic-Con. It's like, the next film is going to be 5 Squirrel Girl films and the Howard the Duck trilogy.
Yeah!
And it's just like, what? Oh no, it's been announced.
Right.
So my turn now.
Yeah. Monsieur LaFrye, okay.
Okay, so my one, it's because obviously started Paul McCartney. And obviously Paul McCartney's like, what the hell just happened? And then this guy goes back into his body, like obviously he's covered in blood, he's been like doing death growls on stage.
Mm-hmm.
And Sir Paul McCartney's just like, what the heck happened?
Mm-hmm.
And this loner type, who's, I'm going to have him played by Bill Skarsgård, you know, who's Pennywise. He's like the loner.
Nice.
He realises, obviously his power, and so he only finds out though, once he's possessed a person, he can't do it again for like 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a case of, he then starts to do it to other people. Like he does it to somebody in his workplace who's going for an interview, and then he starts like beats up the manager, and so obviously that guy doesn't get the promotion, but he gets fired as well.
Mm.
He does it so like he, as a girl he wants to ask out, so he possesses her and then asks him out, so everyone thinks they're together, but so she's kind of trapped in a relationship with him against her will. She's kind of, because she announced in such a public place, she feels like she has to go on with it now.
Sure.
Because they think like, they don't necessarily realise they're possessed, but they just think, what the heck just happened to me? But they remember every, because they're seeing this all happen, but they have no control. So they're seeing this stuff happen through their eyes, but they have no control of what they're doing. So they're seeing everything happen, but they know they can't do anything about it, so then they've got to live with it.
Oh, interesting.
So this is like based on like an actual fear. I've had a nightmare about this before, where you're possessed, you do something terrible, and then like whoever possesses you goes, then you've got to live with the consequences. So obviously then, like, it turns out, though, there's a group of people who turns out they meet through Google Plus, because they think, where can we discuss like really outlandish things that no one will read? So I think Google Plus. Seven of them meet up, and this guy's been, turns out his mysterious figure gathers 6 people, and it turns out they've all been possessed at some point in this life. Like the guy who, basically he's played by James McAvoy, he's the one who beats up the guy and gets fired from his workplace.
Interesting.
There's like another person. There's various people who've, like, there was a guy at work who ends up giving him loads of free stuff and he gets sacked. He can be played by, say, Will Poulter. Obviously, then you've got different other people. Can't think who to cast. Obviously, let's say Scarlett Johansson is a person who was like for like a bartender who was forced to give him like a free bottle of like Prosecco in a club, and she gets fired. One of them's also going to be, the other two are going to be played by, they're going to be brothers played by Eric Andre and Hannibal Buress, who were forced to like fight each other. Final one is going to be Chelsea's midfielder Danny Drinkwater, who's currently on loan at Burnley. So I've got to get a footballer in my, because Danny Drinkwater, though, he last season he only got played 60 minutes of football for the whole season. It turns out the reason was that he was, because the guy didn't learn, he doesn't like Chelsea, so he possesses Drinkwater, beats up the manager, and the manager's like, right, I'm not going to play you again.
Played by Danny DeVito.
Well, the manager, Mario Sarri, could be played by DeVito, actually. So, yeah, so Sarri's obviously, like, I'm not going to play you again.
There we go.
Obviously, when Sarri goes, Lampard comes in, Lampard loans him out. But they just think it's because Sarri's, like, is forced by, like, out-of-court agreement not to save a reason. So, obviously, that he just thinks, I'm not going to play him in the media, not going to play him, he's not part of my tactics. But then, obviously, the real reason is he was possessed. He was part of a possession incident.
Yeah.
So then it turns out this is one figure who's got all 6 of them together. It's, so you've got, obviously, McAvoy, Poulter, Johansson, Andre, Buress, Drinkwater. And it's, which sounds like...
Keep this coming.
The weirdest, like Desert Island discs ever. But, so no, yeah. Which 6 people should I have for dinner party? Well, but no, there's a demonologist in mine who's played by Keanu Reeves. And actually, you can have like a cheeky Constantine wink there where he's like reading a Constantine comic book and goes, nah, I could do better. And there's like a cheeky little bit, but like that. But basically, he's going with people there because he's trying to track down this person. And he brings another person along who's, let's say he's played by Nick Nolte. Nick Nolte is with Paul McCartney's sound man. And obviously he's a sound man and also a drug dealer. And he likes, sells Keanu Reeves drugs because sometimes to combat certain demons you need to be under a certain state under certain drugs.
Sure.
So Nick Nolte's the sound man to Paul McCartney, and also he's a dealer, a dealer on the side as well. So yeah, Nick Nolte.
He doesn't like put his feet in a bucket of water and like hold a cat.
So when Nick Nolte sees this happen, he immediately calls Keanu Reeves and is like, "There's another demon." Because it turns out Nick Nolte's had experience where he was possessed by another demon in the past, and Keanu Reeves defeated it and killed it, and they stayed in touch. Obviously, Nick Nolte said, "Look, if I ever see this happen again, I will." Because obviously, when you're a sound man for a man as big as Paul McCartney, you're going to encounter lots of celebrities and see this stuff happen.
Mm-hmm.
So. And it turns out lots of weird moments of history have been caught by this type of demon that's been like slowly leaking its way into Earth. So certain moments in history, like say Jennifer Lawrence falling over at the Oscars was caused by this demon.
Yeah.
Like the whole Oscar incident was caused by a demon as well, where they read out La La Land by accident. Yeah. there's major scale things as well. They're little scale things by say not so nefarious people who, because these people have these gifts and they're like. It turns out these people themselves are, say, corrupted by a demon and given this ability. Obviously, on given this ability, you know, the demon kind of ingrains, dies, but obviously a part of it goes into the person.
Yeah.
And which needs to be exercised out. So, obviously, though, what happens here is that these people meet up and they think we need to try and track down this person together with Keanu Reeves' help and we're going to beat them.
Mm-hmm.
And so they try and retrace steps. They all discover, obviously through discussing their experiences, that there's a man, that they, it was for Skarsgård's character, he was the one that was linked into everything.
Yeah.
So they've all encountered him at some point. So they come to the conclusion it's him. Obviously, then you kind of the lights go out, and then a man works and he's possessed and he starts beating him up. Obviously, kind of defeats him easily.
Yeah.
But you have some moments, maybe where there's like a power cut and they all get separated.
Ugh.
And it's got, and like, there's some, and like, there's a. Somebody who's been possessed is going through the house and they don't know which one's possessed. Mm-hmm. So you can have like moments like that where like who's been possessed, who's not, like will they, won't they?
Oh, interesting.
And yeah, it can obviously, they can have places where there's like being found, like someone's in like, say, like a club and there's a possessed person. Because obviously Skarsgård catches it onto him. So he then starts possessing. He can see like, he goes to these places as well and sees a random person, possesses them, attacks them, and the person's like, what the heck happened to me? And obviously. They don't know.
They
can get horrified by that, where who's going to be possessed, you know?
Yeah.
Well, see, in the end, they do defeat him because they trick him into visiting everyone. They realise, actually, you've possessed everyone here, you can't do it. So he's like, ah. And then, obviously, Keanu's got like a cross or something, which means he's protected.
Mm.
But he realises he needs to not give it to the others so they can be used as bait. Obviously, they all consign to it.
Yeah.
And obviously, it could be like a cat and mouse game, like he's possessing people. And who's going to get it? So you can maybe have like a scene where like there's a whole group of people all like tied up. Obviously, one they're possessed, they go, next person possessed. Boom. Yeah, so...
Oh, sure.
So yeah, there can be... Yeah, and obviously there's the horror, like horror sex, like you don't know who's possessed. And like you see them a lot in crowds and like, could someone be possessed, you know?
Yeah, and from the CCTV, they're trying to like figure out like which people like could look possessed.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and obviously, yeah, there can be that. And obviously, Keanu Reeves is trying to track him, but he's always one step ahead. And obviously, they defeat him in the end, and they end up closing this portal to hell, which is letting these people get in. So yeah,
there's like a
hidden portal in like the bottom of a cellar somewhere.
So do lots of people disappear into hell then?
Yeah, like well, they don't disappear into hell. Like maybe some people who like find out could like. They get possessed and like jump in or whatever.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's like obviously if someone found out but like dealt with like obviously Bill Skarsgård goes kill people.
Mm.
Obviously Bill Skarsgård's defeated and obviously he's killed along with the demon because you know, the demon's exercised from him but he's killed anyway because as the demon's died he's like no he tries to jump into the portal to get the demon back but obviously this bond's been severed and he ends up just going to hell.
Mm.
But then there's also a subplot though where Paul McCartney. he finds out a lot of people actually really dug his, like, smashing the piano and screaming, so he becomes a harsh noise music, and he announces a tour with full of...
changes yeah, everything.
And he does, like, a noise album with Full of Hell, like a collab album, and he becomes a... And Sir Paul McCartney, in his 70s, becomes a grindcore star.
Wow,
and
ends Paul up of Hell.
Yeah, Full of Paul, there you go. And he ends up playing, like, Roadburn, Desert Fest, Download, Bloodstock... He's all these places, and just Paul McCartney ends up getting a second wind in the metal scene as a harsh noise musician.
Yes.
And then you can see, like, a post-credit scene where Ringo Starr tries to form a grunge band, but it doesn't seem to really work out for him. And he's, like, playing to, like, a half-empty, like, Brixton Academy.
Like,
he's
doing post-grunge, yeah, like, alternative, yeah. Nickelback.
He and Chad Kroeger are doing some, like, grunge thing, and this is not really, it's like a half-empty
Look
Brixton
at this puddle the hell!
Yeah, and that's obviously, yeah. But obviously, I think that's fast. I mean, it could be like a sequel where, like, another portal opens, and it's just, yeah. And maybe...
It sounds like a good series.
Yeah,
it's got a very Netflix or Shudder series.
Well, you could do like a sequel. It's just the Dean Rogers character. He goes on to a different case. It's not necessarily like a possession one. It could be, say, like a demon's abducted, say, like an important figure, like a cleric or something, or. Where he actually has to commit an exorcism, or he has to go to hell to fight a demon or something. So,
sure,
you could build a whole franchise of one with one character, you know, like in like Jack Reacher or something, you know.
Yeah,
but with like Keanu Reeves as an exorcist. So yeah,
interesting. Would you get a now older Darren Shan to write it?
Yeah, could
write
do
the screenplay.
Yeah, I'd like to see like Lee Whannell direct it and write it.
Mm.
And like, yeah, that's, I can also see Sam Raimi producing it. Maybe not involved, but yeah, I think Lee Whannell could do well.
Would Jason Blum have
yeah,
some involvement?
Yeah, Blum's got probably been there as well. Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, I guess we're pitching it to.
But maybe even
Blumhouse.
John, or maybe even John Krasinski could get in there. But yeah, Platinum Dunes and Michael Bay could produce it. So yeah, we'll see.
Nice.
So hit
Sweet.
Me.
That was really good. That
Thank
was
you.
Really elaborate.
Thank you. Yeah.
Yeah, we're gonna make this later. Like on our iPhones. We're going ghost hunting.
Yeah.
So, Jack, I'm going to give you a lot more flexibility and freedom with this. You have to choose one horror creature.
Okay.
And put them in one setting in Britain's history.
Okay.
And so it could be, you know, I guess similar to Kingdom.
Okay.
Like zombies in feudal Korea.
Okay.
So you could have like werewolves at the signing of the Magna Carta.
Okay.
Or... vampires in the rebellion against King John.
Okay.
Like it's entirely up to you.
I've got it. So yeah, I've got it. I'm going
to
do the English Civil War,
mm-hmm.
but the Roundheads, the Cavaliers,
mm-hmm.
Partially controlled by vampires, and the Roundhead Oliver Cromwell is like a vampire hunter. So partially, which is one forgotten from history. But the English Civil War, one of the main motivations for it was them fighting vampire Oliver Cromwell trying to kill vampires, which have taken over the royal family.
Oh, that's cool.
So, obviously, you'd have, like, Cromwell... Like, the thing is, though, Cromwell would be an unlikable anti-hero, because obviously he was an unlikable person. Like, he cancelled Christmas, for God's sake, so, yeah.
Yeah. God, he's... yeah,
so
no,
you'd have him as, like, you'd have him as, like, a gruff anti-hero type. Probably played... I'd go for played by James Purefoy, who played Solomon Kane. He could be Cromwell.
Yeah.
And you can get, like... I want to get, like, actors, like... who are, like, 40s, 50s, like, playing, like, these gruff veteran, like, slayers. I'm going to call them slayers.
Mm.
Obviously, I know this is kind of similar to Lincoln Vampire Hunter, because in that, I think film, the Civil War was partially involved with vampires as well.
Sure.
From what I remember of it, yeah. I think so. Yeah, I think that happened, but I haven't seen that film in, like, so many... since the cinema, so apologies,
yeah.
apologies if I got that wrong.
No, but, that's fair.
But yeah, so I know the Civil War was a part of that film. I definitely remember that, unless I've completely forgotten what the film's about. But yeah, enough about Abe Lincoln Vampire Hunter. This is Oliver Cromwell Vampire Hunter.
by Seth Graham Greene.
Yeah, basically though.
Graham King.
Graham King, yeah, whatever his name is, yeah. I know Green King's a pub, I think, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah.
Shepherd Neem, Weatherspoons. Oh, yeah. All the main characters are named after certain drinks. So you've got one like back slayer, his name is like a Cronenberg, there's another one called Carlsberg.
Doombar.
No, actually, name look at as Doombar.
That's the most British thing.
Yeah. So like, there's one guy. His name is Doombar, and he's played by Rory McCann, who is the Hound. He could be like this tough, gruff veteran slayer.
Nice.
Like, you got the head of a Slayer's Guild, because it's an actual guild. He's going to be played by I'd say John Hurt if he was still alive, because I think that he would just smash that role.
Yeah.
But I'm going to... Because I think someone like McKellen or Stewart would be a bit too obvious.
Hmm.
I'm going to go... I actually can't think who to go for. I'm trying to think of a... Well, I'm going to go for... Actually, it's not a British actor, but I'm going to go for Bryan Cranston, because I can see him has this like authority kind of church figure.
Hmm.
And like... Yeah, like maybe Christopher Plummer could be in there as like another elder as well.
Sure.
Obviously, like Bryan Cranston's, like say, he could have conducted like an act of heroism which earned him the title.
Mm.
And you could have some other veterans. You could have, I want to have Ewan McGregor in there, Jude Law.
Yeah.
Vinnie Jones as well can be in there as like a mute one. Yeah, I'm gonna have Vinnie Jones in there.
It's like a, sick.
He's like, he got his tongue ripped out by a vampire, so he's not speaking. But yeah, he's just proper menacing as well. Yeah. Yeah, have him in there, maybe Statham, I don't know. It's just going to be Expendables. But no, obviously, there's the whole plot of it is it's going to be like... It's kind of a bit like Daybreakers in a way as well.
Mm-hmm.
But no, so basically, the Civil War is there. Like, Cromwell could be like a head of one of the heads of the guild. Like, and obviously, Cranston dies in it, so Oliver Cromwell takes over.
Sure.
Cromwell, as I said, played by James Purefoy. So basically, it starts out, obviously, this tension to disagree, like, obviously, high between Roundhead's Cavaliers anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And the film will start before the Civil War, but the investigation, it turned out there's a young peasant boy. He's going to be played by... I'm going to go for...
A young peasant boy.
I'm going to say Nicholas Holt, but he's a bit too old for that
now. Yeah, he's getting on a bit.
Like, Redmayne's too old for it. I can't think of who I can play for it.
Asa Butterfield?
That's a good shout. I'm going with him. Asa Butterfield. So he's a young peasant boy. Asa Butterfield, of course, from Ender's Game, Boy in the Striped Pyjamas, and many
X
other things.
X plus Y.
many other things, which are... I can't think of what he's done, but I know he's done some other things as well. I can't think of any of them, but yeah.
My milkshake.
Yeah, your milkshake you're drinking right now while recording. So Asa Butterfield from Ender's Game, X plus Y... Born in Striped Pyjamas, and many other roles, which I can't think of. That's going to really annoy me now.
But a wonderfully Asa.
Yeah, he's going to be a young peasant boy, and he discovers traces of a vampire. So he's been chased by the vampire, but the last minute before he's converted, Rory McCann comes along, and with like a fist, like with this metal fist with like a cross, with like a cross like in it, it's like a blade, ices the vampire, and just... kills it.
Mm.
And he's like, whoa, and he's like, come with me. And he wants to kill Asa Butterfield, but obviously someone says no, he could be useful. It's Cromwell. Like, Cromwell, hey! and yeah, so obviously they take him to the cult, they meet everyone. So Statham's like a veteran there, Vinnie Jones is mute, is there, like Law, McGregor, like I'm gonna have I think Jude Law's going to be the drill sergeant, like the one who trains him and mentors him.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, Ewan McGregor could be like a field commander, so like, along with like one of the field commanders, you know, like his whole platoon could be wiped up with vampires. He's the last survivor, so he's like a field. He's like got a sense of loss because he's a field commander without a squad, basically. So he's dealing with kind of like sensations of loss.
Sure.
And then you can go for the great Michael Gambon could appear in a flashback as like the founder of this guild.
Interesting.
Yeah, and you could have like, I want to say, you could have like Paul Bettany could pop up as a priest in it as well, like a little wink to the audience as well, like, I killed vampires in priest.
Like,
you could say this isn't my first rodeo, like winks. I'm like, he's like the resident priest. And yeah, you could have Rowan Williams himself as Justin Welby could have a cameo as a bishop in it as well. Little wink at the audience there. And so yeah, Justin Welby could have a little cameo in it as a bishop. And also you could have Sadhu, the great priest of St. Mark's Chilling, could have a cameo as well in it as a, as a priest. Yeah. And so...
Axe-wielding Sadhu.
And you could have a guy in there, like, he's called Neil the Pest Exterminator. And he's like this kind of like folklore figure around the Slayers community. He's obviously played by I think that's what Jason Statham. Jason Statham is Neil the Pest Exterminator, and he's like goes in. He's like the covert one. They think he's just a simple like rat catcher, but he turns out to be like one of the most badass Slayers. So he's often uses like an infiltration, like goes in, plays vampire nest where all around he's like all these royal vampires. They think he's just a just a pest exterminator who's going to catch some rats. Opens a cloak, loads of, like, cross nunchucks and, like show a can blades, whatever they're called, you know, throwing stars,
yeah,
come out. Yeah, so obviously, so basically, there's like they start to unravel a conspiracy. Basically, Asa Butterfield's first mission is helping the people, is helping Cromwell and Roy McCann, everyone else, find this conspiracy. And it turns, obviously, they find out that vampires have are planning to convert the royal family.
Mm-hmm.
Like the head of vampire can be played by Charles Dance, you know, evil Charles Dance. Obviously, I don't know who can play Charles the First. Maybe Vincent Cassell. I'm not sure. I don't know. But basically, no, Vincent Cassell is going to be like an ally who comes like. He could be a French vampire hunter who hears of a civil war and comes across the channel to help halfway through the film.
Yeah.
And brings reinforcements. But basically, then it turns out, obviously, Charles is converted into a vampire. And, yeah, obviously, then the civil war breaks out. And obviously, all you know, it's a front from the vampires to push territory.
Mm.
And there's a whole thing is they want to block out the sun and create in called England. And obviously, you create like a vampire world.
Yeah.
Where they can harvest humans and everything.
Vampire, yeah.
And so, obviously, nice. And that's how the fight, obviously, it's like an unfollowed. And there'll be sequels, two sequels, which take place over the space of the Civil War, obviously, the end of Charles's execution.
Sure.
And Cromwell taking over.
Mm.
And yeah, that's how it. Yeah, and obviously, it ends with like the final one, film ends with Cromwell taking over. But obviously, he's still connected. And Asa Butterfield is now like an ace member of the guild. So, yeah.
Mm.
And he has to retire from the guild to obviously focus on running the country. So, obviously, Ewan McGregor then can take over because Bryan Cranston and Michael Gambon get iced. So, yeah. But Bryan Cranston gets turned into a vampire. Then there's a bit where he's about to kill someone and he fights back and no, and just like turns and just breaks down the wall and sets himself on fire or sacrifices himself. So, yeah.
That's. Ooh.
You can have a scene where one of the roundheads, like, I'm going to have, like, Vinnie Jones is brute. He gets bitten, but instead of like he knows he's gonna die, so he just walks out into the sun, and you can just see him slowly just burning away as he just walks into like So yeah, you have like that scene, and yeah, that's how I have it. Yeah,
that's really interesting.
So yeah. I'd have Ben. I can see Ben Wheatley directing it. Weirdly.
Really? Yeah, I guess Ben Wheatley.
I think Guy Ritchie weirdly as well. But I want someone who could do big battle scenes and horror, so maybe James Wan.
Yeah, I mean maybe Alejandro Aya.
He has a shout.
Yeah, I guess. Do you think Eli Roth would do a good job?
I also think the guy who directed Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark would do a good job.
Yeah.
He's an up-and-comer. I can't remember his name. Yeah.
good film though. Actually, I was personally surprised. Yeah, nice.
There could be a little joke saying like there's a vampire who's lost his toe, which has been worn around Oliver Cromwell's neck. Yeah,
yeah. Just throw all the little juicy references in there. Nice.
Your turn now. What would you do?
I have a couple of options, a few that I was sort of like dabbling in since I thought of the idea. One was zombies during the Great Fire of London.
Oh, that's a good shout.
That'd be really interesting. Another one was...
It wasn't rats who spread the plague, it was zombies. Or maybe the rat was like a zombie rat or something.
I think, yeah, and I guess like there's so much... You know, I mean, there are other conspiracy theories about what started the Great Fire of London. And obviously when you're in this huge, like this... In the midst of such chaos... And panic, and obviously, any time set before the internet and the age of the telephone is, you're going to have extraordinary communication problems.
Yeah.
There's obviously the, like emergency services, like the firefighting brigade are way less efficient than they,
Because that's one idea you could have, is like, if I was to go that one, I'd end it with like them killing off the zombies, but the only way they can do it is to start the Great Fire of London. So the film could just end with the protagonist just sitting there, just waiting to die as they think we've saved the city, but then just like embracing each other as they know they're going to be set and just burst into flames. So it ends on a somber note, but it's like the case of what's like, it better to do?
Do you sacrifice for the greater good?
Do we burn London down to save the country? Because obviously there's like there could be like these cultist type maybe who are trying to spread the plague.
Mm.
And you know, or you got to have one of the protagonists has got to be like a badass witch doctor as well, you know.
Of course.
It's Christian Bale.
It's any any like Witch Doctor setting or environment, they're just sprinkled in there.
There's like Christian Bale's like a witch. There's like a plague Witch Doctor, and he's just like he's got like two massive swords.
The Vavitch 2. See, yeah, another option I was thinking of going for was. Oh, actually, no, I think this is all I'm going for. So it's following the Dark Ages, and it's sort of it becomes a real mixture of like sort of various revolutions in like printing and writing, but mainly it's during like the rise of literacy across the UK. So when the masses can finally like read, they can understand the words on the page, and basically, during that time, during the rise of literacy, cases of cannibalism.
Ooh.
Like, so cannibals are, the monster here, the enemy.
Okay, is it like mutant cannibals, just people? Or is it just like people?
They suspected it was. I mean, at first, they suspect it's like wolves or.
Bears.
People in. Just more isolated, poorer communities who are starving. So all this, all these theories are discussed by like patrolmen, by soldiers, people who do come across these towns that have literally been like half the town has been eaten and the rest of the town disappears. So one monster idea that the audience might think of, if it's marketed in a way that doesn't, like, of course, reveal what that these are just cannibals, this is the stage in the film when the audience thinks they're zombies, or werewolves, vampires, even. So yeah, like all the monster speculations are everywhere, so it follows a group of. If it was a group of the, I guess there would have been, a group of the king's guards.
Guards, okay.
Knights,
crusaders, maybe Templars.
Yeah, I guess. But the problem is, it depends like what stage of the kind of the advanced literacy are. Because obviously that happened over such a long period of time.
Yeah, that's true.
We'll go towards the earlier stage. The earlier stage of it, where there's a sort of recognisable number of the country that can now read, but the majority can't.
Okay.
Right at the start of the rise of literacy. And so a group of king's guards are sent by the king.
Okay.
Personally.
Okay.
Personally by the king.
Okay.
To investigate what's been doing these to these villages. Because at first, like, you know, there's one rumour that half the town's been eaten and the rest have disappeared in one tiny place, like near the border of Wales, for example. And then another one in the sort of Midlands region, and one further north, and then one down towards Devon. And it's all these, all these stories of these half-eaten towns start springing up everywhere and making their way back to the king's cause. So I guess by pressure from the court and the king's advisors, but there's another reason why the king wants to personally send these guards as well. And so the king's guards are walking, are sort of going from like village to village investigating what this case is. And it's basically, as more and more people start to read, they basically discover pamphlets that are telling people, that basically like warning certain villagers that to avoid another like black plague, another bubonic plague happening, you will be safe from the plague by eating another human being.
Oh wow!
You've been with me so far, and obviously, there are plenty of people who ignore these, and they eventually meet people who are saying like, well, these pamphlets have come out of nowhere, and so the guards thinking like, clearly certain villagers are believing this and they're actually like eating their towns and they're persuading whole people to become cannibals with them. And so they finally have a hold of these one of these pamphlets, and they're trying to figure out where the pamphlets came from, like who wrote them. And they they take them back to the king's court and they don't know what to do with it. So they basically, the king's soldiers are dispersed all around the country in villages, trying to, Yeah, so they can actually like stop the cannibalism in the act.
Okay.
So like literally like if there's like, you know, a unit of soldiers stationed in every village, and they're there like if any of the villagers decide to eat each other.
Okay.
And then so they stop if there are a couple of instances where they stop the outbreak and they actually like, you know, they kill the people who try to eat the others.
Yeah, there'd be like loads of scenes where like there's like a swarm of peasants with like blood dripping down their mouths and the knights like, right, here we go, lads. Here we go.
But then it starts happening to the knights as well. Ooh. So they arrive in one village and all the villagers are in shock because there's basically like one knight that's managed to like kill all his other comrades and he has eaten them all.
Oh wow!
Yeah, so the king, members of the court and the king start to wonder, like how many of his soldiers of his men are, you know, also believe all the, you know, are so scared they believe all these pamphlets are saying, and I guess to cut to the twist, it is basically. So, you know, one of the first immediate twist is that there is the king's apothecary believes that, you know, genuinely believes that and starts spreading these pamphlets propaganda because, so yeah, like, he started presenting this propaganda, so, you know, if you eat your neighbour, then you'll be spared from the next plague. But it's basically, but basically, you find out that the apothecary actually secretly believes that, like, there is another bubonic plague coming, and because the population has risen as well.
It's getting out of hand.
Well, yeah, because there are just way more people in England now, then, you know, it'll spread much faster and it could be much deadlier. So he uses this propaganda to basically like halve the to control the population size.
Okay.
So that it doesn't spread faster and getting to the court and the royals. And then you find out that basically loads more members of the king's court are involved in this.
Okay.
Like they were also pushing the apothecary to like believe this theory and to, you know, spread this propaganda around the country. But the king starts to like believe them. And it basically ends with a load of like court officials saying, like, basically they manage to distribute more propaganda that says a bubonic plague, a second one is definitely coming, and the only way you will prevent this, the only way you will save yourselves, otherwise you're all gonna die, is if you kill and eat the king.
Oh.
And they basically the court kick the they revolt and kick the king out of his out of the capital. And so he
is Sean Bean the king, by the way.
He could be.
I regret not putting him in mine. He could like have a cameo as like a veteran, as another veteran. Yeah, there you go.
And so so it's basically the king and a unit of his most loyal loyal guards who are basically trying to figure out a way how to like convince the population like then and there when they meet them that it's that these things are just lies.
Yeah.
And because obviously, if more people can read now, then obviously it's really well written. It has to be, but to make them more susceptible to this propaganda, so that's where the thrill comes from, the pursuit and chase across the wilderness of England.
That's amazing.
Mm. Yes. We should do more historical horrors because we have the landscape and the architecture, and you could learn the history and the legends.
Exactly. That's the myths. That's interesting. Very interesting. So I really like that. I rate that massively.
Sweet. Cool. That was actually trickier than I expected.
Good. I enjoyed that. That was very rewarding.
See, one option originally was like have cannibals, but during the Gulf War.
Oh wow!
So amongst like troops abroad, it's definitely the whole literacy period. End of the Dark Ages.
I was thinking of doing werewolves during the Blitz.
Oh, that would have been interesting. Yeah. Did you see what was that horror film set in the trenches of the First World War? It wasn't called Trench.
No, it was not Outpost. It's a different one.
No, it's like...
I know what you're thinking of. I can't think of the name.
There's a cursed trench, basically, which they take.
Okay.
And it's... I haven't seen the whole thing, but from what I've seen, it's actually intense.
Okay.
Incredibly gruesome.
Okay.
But I'll think of him posted on Twitter.
Okay.
That's the Facebook status. Yeah. The title. Death Watch. That's
Death
it.
Watch. That's the one. That's it. Wasn't Jamie Bell in there?
He was.
Yeah.
And Will Poulter as well.
Really? Oh wow.
Yeah. So and Andy Serkis.
Oh wow.
Star-studded cast.
He could be in the Guild as well. I'm thinking
they're all in the Guild.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a spin-off series of that produced by Judd Apatow.
Yeah.
So thank you for listening.
Thank you very much.
As always, if you have any horror ideas that you'd like us to pitch, before or after Halloween, then please feel free to tweet us at Tom Hanks Defense.
Yeah. Or write on our Facebook wall.
For sure.
Or carve into a jack-o'-lantern. We'll find it.
It's like somehow. So here's Jack's address. So, yeah. And or if there are any other cool horror films or different variations of what we pitch to each other, then please tweet us and write in our Facebook wall as well. We'd love to hear your ideas.
Okay.
So, happy Halloween. Don't scare yourselves too much.
Watch the horror films.
Absolutely. We want to hear what films you're watching on Halloween as well.
Oh, yeah.
So get in touch.
Thank you.
Lots of love, guys.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Tom Hanks Defense Force. Find us and join the conversation on Twitter and Facebook.